call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Anderson?
Here.
Banks? Cohort? Lynn?
Here.
Hodson?
Here.
Palinkas? And Emmanuel?
Here. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes or any changes to the minutes?
The agenda, maybe first.
Oh, agenda, sorry. Any changes to the agenda or approval of the agenda?
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
Second, all in favor, aye?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. For the minutes, any changes to the minutes or approve the minutes as are? Do you want to move to approve?
I wasn't here for that meeting, but.
I'll make a move.
Okay. Then we move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor, aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, this is the time for public participation.
My name is Barbara Lynn. I think you have in your possession a letter that I sent to the board concerning my mom, Gay Turner. Correct? Is that correct? I know the nursing home has.
I know the answer to that. I don't have it in my possession right here, right now. I believe we received it, but I don't have it. I do not have it in my.
It's not in the agenda packet. They did receive it.
Okay.
Okay.
You're aware of the content?
Yeah.
I have not received a written reply to that letter. We have had a meeting, a sit-down meeting, a discussion. No written reply. I have a plan of action for a permanent resolve to the issue. During the last 30 days, my mom has encountered bronchitis, and it has gotten worse. Sunday night, she ended up last night in the hospital, in emergency, because her lungs have filled with fluid. Now, while she was there, well, let me back up. This past week, I've received calls every day about her condition, sometimes more than once. But I was given the idea that she would be better off here rather than taken to the hospital. I trusted that. The nurse that was on duty last night said no. She is in very bad condition. She needs to be in the ER. So he called an ambulance and we went to the ER. During that exam, now you're all aware of what my letter was about. Just the one thing, there are several things, but that one thing of her incontinence and being ignored. She was sobbing in pain. She was raw on her bottom end. They told me that she, on the outside of her tummy, had a yeast growing from the dampness and from the urine. That was never mentioned to me in any phone call, that she was having trouble. I suspect that's the reason, the basic reason, they didn't call an ambulance because she was in such a condition. Now, while I was here last week, I noticed a mass change coming about here. There are more people over here. There are more patients, more residents over here. And it's my understanding, they're cleaning, in asking questions, they're cleaning out a section and putting those people out and about. Now, when my mom comes back here, she's not getting the attention that she needs right now. What, Scott, I know you've done this, you've started the plan, everything's in place. What's your plan to cover these people? What's your personnel plan? Because my mom right now isn't getting sufficient care. And I know, I see all these people coming into Unit 1. What's going to happen? How are you taking care of the other people? How are you taking care of the new people? How are you staffing this? Scott?
There's no interaction allowed during public participation.
Okay. That's unreasonable, but that's all right. That's a serious thing for consideration. I just ask each and every one of you, you're young, this young man is very young, but there's nothing in this world that will guarantee that you won't be in here this next week. There are accidents, there are strokes that will put you in here. Now, picture yourselves with your raw hind end. How long will you want to sit in your own urine, your own feces, in pain, asking for help, and you don't get it? How are you going to feel? You're raw on your rear end, and it hurts. Do you have children that are going to come in and help you or not? I'm her daughter. I feel responsible. I've tried for 2 years to fix this. I've talked to you personally. And it's like talking to nothing. There is no accountability here at all. Where's your heart? Where is your duty to these people here? I certainly haven't seen it. It's very inept care, very inept. The people at the emergency room suggested I not send my mother back because of her condition. It's complete neglect. How do you feel thinking about sitting in your own urine and feces? What's your dignity? Where's your dignity lie? There is a personal dignity here for these people. You're all going to get old. Maybe something else will happen before then, but you're going to need care. Do you want Karen taking care of you? She's not taking care of my family. And I would like to know when the last head-to-toe assessment was of my mom. The supervisor who's been calling me never mentioned about her condition one time. She's had a physician's assistant who said that she can get better care here than she can at the hospital. She knows us. We are looking to her every hour. That's a lie. That was a deceitful lie. Do you want them taking care of you? You guys got to fix this. The care lies here. The ultimate responsibility for these people lies on your shoulders. Their conditions lie on your shoulders. If you don't do anything about it, sleep tight, because your day will come. What you give out there, you're going to get back. If you don't care about them, you don't belong on this board. This is your job. You have to maintain the care of these people here. They depend on you. I depend on you. To settle this problem, you have a management problem big time here. Big time. It's in the management.
And there's a 5-minute limit on public participation and you've exceeded it.
Probably. Thanks for your patience.
Thank you. Thanks for your participation. Any other participation?
I guess you know who I am. I'm Dave Lager. I speak up about the move that we just had. It's pretty well known that dementia patients don't do well with moves and change of personnel. I was against it. I understand why you did it. And and actually it went pretty smooth. The people down in one and the people that they moved with them seemed to do a good job. I'm looking at that and hoping it continues in that vein. In the past, we had some issues similar to this, but they got corrected. They were corrected on the unit. The question I have, are we basically doing away with Unit 4 and putting those people into the general population? I guess we could do that. We just did. I'd like to see this place succeed and be better than it is, because we need it here in Champaign County, but we need it to be better. And I've attended meetings and been here for about 15 or 16 months now, and quite frankly, I'm not overly impressed with the level of, management by its very word is management. I'm not impressed with what we've had. And I'm trying to be fair in this thing. The word on the street, we complain about not being able to get CNAs and people working here in places like the laundry or places like the dietary services. The word on the street is this is a bad place to work. Well, why is that? Well, I suggest it's management. Now, all the issues that we've talked about are at some level a management issue, whether they're management in this part of the building or in other parts of the building. Because the troops out there, the CNAs, and the dietary and housekeeping people look to management for direction. If they're not getting direction, they're not going to get things done the way they need to be done. And I got 2 minutes left, haven't I? Anyway, I feel the board, as it's presently structured, has enough forward-looking people on this thing to make it work. I hope that they can keep in mind the same issue that we just went through on dietary services, where we tried to replace our dietary services after having a year plus of unsatisfactory relationships with them. We have to put our current management under the same umbrella. If they don't perform as they have promised, and I was here when they said they could do these things, We need to correct the problem. We need new structure. We've got to do something. There's a lot of potential here, but we're not getting it out of the people. The thing that saves us from ourselves is the quality level of some of the people out there. They're really good. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Other participants? Okay. Next agenda item is communications.
From the family meeting?
Yeah. So, and I'm thinking, I can't remember who said they were going to go last month, probably. But
Sam.
Sam went.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't know if there's other communications that the rest of you want to have based on what we're hearing or anything else.
I don't know if we want to have any other communication just based on what you may have heard from the family council meeting, or whether there's any other just sort of open communications that we want to be having, if there's any other discussion you want to have.
I'm going to elaborate a little bit on what my wife just said. We took mother-in-law to the hospital last night. The doctors examined her, and the nurses examined her, as you said. And the doctor says, this is definitely patient abuse. And they have reported that to social services. They have to by law. Where it's going to go, I don't know where it goes from there. But he said, she is such bad shape because of the care that we have to report this to social services. Not social services here. And so I don't know where it's going to go. And but she's also got an infection similar to MRSA. It's caused some antibiotics. So they've got her in isolation in the hospital. And she'll probably be there until they clean this up. She was put on antibiotics here a month ago. And whatever they put her on has caused this problem. Now, I know VRE is another one. I'm used to that when I've had that with patients. But do you have to clean that up? Otherwise, it's highly contagious with the other residents within the building. Now, anybody that's compromised, that will affect them. And so there was no testing done by the doctors here, and the practitioners here. This all came out last night when she got to the hospital. And she's probably lucky she's even alive yet from this. She's not just raw at her bottom. She's raw all the way to the top of the tents. They haven't been cleaning her. They haven't been changing her. And we had an incident the last meeting we had here. And that's what the letter was about. I was in the dining room when it happened. The dining room attendant went by her, and she looked under her chair. And I thought, well, she just dropped or something. A minute or two later, she come back and looked again. Then she run down the hall and got a CNA. She had a puddle that big under her chair. She had that much urine in her attempts. It was running out on the floor. The CNA grabbed her and took her back and changed her. But they're evidently not cleaning her when she's being changed. And that is pure supervision. And that goes all the way to the top. Goes right up to Karen and the director of nursing and assistant directors of nursing. We had a meeting with the director of nursing and the floor nurse, Carol. Zip. No change. They don't change what you tell them the problem is. Same things happened right here in the dining room. Whatever you say, they just ignore it and go back to the same old pattern that they've been going back to. I don't know where Karen don't want any change in this building or what's going on. But Scott, you got to straighten it out. That's all there is to it. Because as far as I'm concerned, MPA needs to be put on the line right now. So I don't know where this whole thing's going to wind up. That's all I got to say about it.
Dr. Blinkis did send a communication indicating that he would not be able to attend the meeting this evening.
Okay. I heard a question come up during the comment about if we are doing away with Unit 4, and I guess I would ask somebody to comment.
Kathy, maybe you should stay with the agenda, and all maybe right. That would come up under the management report.
Okay. All right. Okay. Agenda item on the hot water heater.
Real quick, water heater replacement is going well. Adult daycare is complete. Unit 1 and Unit 3 are complete. I did send out a notice late today Pipeworks, our contractor, was in today prepping for the new unit 4 next up, which will be completed tomorrow. Wednesday, they'll be prepping for unit 1, and then Thursday, they will replace unit 1. GHR will be in on Friday or Thursday afternoon to do a walkthrough on what's been replaced this week and create a punch list. So I would anticipate that we're completely done with this project by next Monday, with the punch list being complete. The water heaters will be done by the end of Thursday by 5 p.m. So it's going well. It's taking a little bit longer. They were hopeful of trying to replace one a day, but Mother Nature hasn't cooperated. It's kind of hard to drill a hole in the roof to put in new venting when it's pouring. So they're trying to do some of this prep work and take care of it when they can on days when it's not raining. But it's a small area to work in, so they've only had been able to put 3 people on it. A force just couldn't fit. So, but it's still going along pretty smoothly. Still at cost. There's been no change in that. There haven't been any change orders. So, should be in good shape. Any questions?
What's the total cost on this, roughly?
Any questions?
Any other questions? Okay, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
You want to do the food services contract?
What you have in your packet is a copy of the original agreement that was signed with Healthcare Services Group, and it's on pages, starting on page 5 through 10. I'm sorry, 5 through 12. So what I did instead of, what I suggested to Healthcare Services Group, instead of executing a complete new contract, is we just do an amendment to the existing agreement, which they have agreed to, just to try to keep things as clean as possible. So what you see on page 13 and 14 of your packet is the first amendment to the Healthcare Services Group contract. The nuts and bolts is in Exhibit A1 on page 14, which are the performance measure guidelines that both the facility and Healthcare Services Group have agreed upon. And you can see the performance measures include the pinnacle scores for dining and food quality services, and it'll be a quarterly 3-month average. And again, the goal is to achieve the national average pinnacle score for both dining and food quality. Next item is internal resident satisfaction surveys, which is what we've already been doing with the dietitian. Third bullet is kitchen sanitation, then audits, IDPH survey, plating accuracy, which will be conducted with a biweekly audit of 2 meal services for a total of 4 meal services a month, with the goal of a 90% accuracy. And again, that's to address the ongoing inconsistencies that we have, where if I ordered that I wanted a hamburger without a bun, I'm not served the hamburger with a bun, those types of issues. Food tray temps, a minimum of 1 test tray per dining area a month, where the temperature needs to be greater than 125 degrees with the accuracy goal of 90%. Managers will be reviewing a test tray on a daily basis and also checking the temp, the food presentation, and the quality of the food with the goal of a 90% satisfaction. And there's a survey or questionnaire that managers will be filling out when they do the test tray, and the managers will be rotating and testing the trays. And then we've got staffing. And it's the same staffing measures that we have in our strategic measures. 12-month turnover rate and the retention rate. But I want to point out that I believe that the numbers, and I just noticed this right before I walked into our board meeting, that the goal for the turnover rate is 25%. And I believe what it should be is the 45% or 45.2% benchmark that we have in on page 16 on the HR dashboard, which is the turnover rate for all employees. The benchmarking tool that we use, which is American Healthcare Association Quality Report, does not have a specific turnover rate for food service workers. So the best measure that we can measure them against is probably the number for all employees. I'm not sure what happened that we got the 25. It might be a typo, but I'm not sure. It should be 45%, and I'll double check that with Healthcare Services Group. The retention rate, again, it says 40%, and that is not right. And again, it should be 73%. That, again, is on page 16 at the very top, which is the retention rate for all staff, which is 73.1%. So any questions on those performance measures that we have put into the contract?
One question, Scott. Under food tray temps, on the second bullet, managers reviewing a test tray on a daily basis, temp food presentation quality are reviewed 90% satisfaction. These managers are the ones who are overseeing the food services?
No, these are our department managers, non-dietary department managers that will be rotating and testing the trays.
Good.
And if you want, I can actually request a clarification to make sure it states non-dietary managers.
That would be great.
That's a good pickup. And again, the goal is to try to get as much objectivity in these performance measures as much as possible.
Scott, why is this turnover rate climbing? You look at 2008, 9, 10, 11, you're around the 40-45% range. 15, we're up to 62% again.
We're on 17.
Yeah. Why is it such a change?
Basically, because if you take a look at the numbers on page 16, I mean, we clearly are showing. Last year, we had a very good year in reducing the CNA turnover rate, and right now, so far this year, we are seeing higher numbers. So if you take a look at on page 16 at the table at the bottom that says applications, hires, and separations, that will clearly tell you from January. Now, we've had 5, 7, 4, 4, 5, 5 separations with the CNAs. Now, if we had the numbers from last year for the CNAs towards the end of the year, our numbers were much lower than that. So we are seeing a higher turnover rate with our CNAs currently.
But what's the analysis of
it? Right.
You
know, the numbers prove out, but we're trying to figure out what's the root cause.
52% is extremely high, and that's not CNAs, that's or 62%. That's not CNAs. They're up to around 75%, right?
But the CNAs and the food service workers are the two.
I know, but I'm talking about CNA specifically. Mm-hmm. This is where the care hits the road. So why is this climbing? Who's doing a survey of something to find out what's wrong in our personnel management system that's broken?
Well, we take a look at all the separations over the last few months, and there are no really specific trends. I mean, it covers, we had a number of CNAs that, Karen, you can correct me as I'm trying to recall these over the top of my head. We had a couple of CNAs that left because they got their RN and nursing degrees. Some had left for personnel reasons. We had some terminations for performance. So there's not one specific trend that we've seen over the last few months that we have to specifically address. That being said, we understand that we need to try to reduce the turnover rate as much as possible. But right now, we're not seeing any real specific trends.
But our agency usage is skyrocketing. You're up to 98,000 in the month of June and May. How can we keep money? You're wanting to borrow money and all this other stuff, but we haven't fixed these problems that's causing this. Now you're coughing out 98,000 to pay rental nurses. It just don't make a lot of sense.
Well,
somebody's got to get the personnel management thing under control. There's something going on personnel-wise that has to be fixed, and it's going to have to be fixed from the top down again. It can't be fixed from the bottom up. It's got to be fixed from the top down. There's something going on that's causing these people to leave at the rate that they're leaving. And you can talk about, well, I don't want to work here no more, whatever. There's a reason. I know of two people who was here in orientation, two CNAs, and they both said in the orientation period, the orientator told them, you may have to hurt some people once in a while, and they walked out the door. There was two of them, know them both personally, and they walked back out the door. They wouldn't work here.
So what I would suggest is that if you have received that information, that you should let me or Karen know so we could try and follow up, because if we actually had a staff...
We told the director of nursing about it here a while back. You had the information. It's just got to change. It's just all there is to it. If you want to keep this contract, you're going to have to start making headway. It hasn't changed since I've been here. There's just no headway being made. It's got to happen.
One of the reasons that we put in place the improvement plan was to make sure we and the issues was to make sure we are addressing the issues that come up. It doesn't lessen any the issue that you brought up. But so we have got an improvement plan in place for management. We've got our specific metrics so that we can say, how are we doing on this? And so that we take action if we are not meeting our metrics. So
Who's doing the metrics?
But you just know, Rick. But you just noted that one of the metrics is way off track.
Right.
So it is one of the metrics that we've got in here that we say has to be improved. So there, I think there's credibility around the metrics that are being measured. But we need to make sure that we as a board are looking at them and saying how are we doing on that, and then it is our job then to decide what happens.
Well, we're coming up on another survey. How many fines are we going to have to pay this year?
Well,
that's the question.
We have in our action plan that we have an issue around the last survey, and that it's got to be a better survey. So
who's going to be responsible for it?
Well, management's responsible for that, and we're responsible for holding them accountable for it. And we are responsible for communicating with them, as has happened here tonight, about issues that we see. The sooner the letter, the sooner you bring up the issues, the sooner we can take care of them. I would highly recommend to go in directly to Scott and Karen when you've got something that management's got to be held accountable.
If I could, we're on an agenda item for approval of a contract, if we could
we're
get back to
back
that
to
item.
It. Okay. Any comments, suggestions, questions, concerns about the food service agreement?
Well, as I see this, we're being asked to approve the First Amendment.
Yes, that's really what I meant.
That will include the changes specific to non-dietary managers doing the review of the trade, and the change numbers for the goals and the staffing and turnover and retention. That's
right, and the Pinnacle scores.
Well, not preventing anyone from speaking otherwise, I would move that we approve.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, approval of that agreement. update?
Okay, on page 16, we already started covering the updates on the discussion on the turnover rate. I don't know if there's any further discussion on that we want to have. On page 18, which is direct care staffing levels, just want to point out that the numbers for a couple of our competitor facilities, Heartland and Line 9, did have an update on the June 26 CMS data file, and those are reflected in the table at the top. If you wanted to see the previous numbers that they had, those are pasted right below that. So just some minor changes to the staffing levels in those two facilities. Heartland showed a sharp increase in their CN hours, but a large drop in their nursing hours. So as a result, their overall adjusted hours fell from 3.57 in May to 3.57 to 3.5 in June. Carolina showed a slight drop in their hours from 3.3 adjusted in May to 3.27 in June. The numbers for Champaign County, obviously, we talked about last month, were updated with the corrected numbers. But again, you know, it's just in terms of what our actual hours per resident day compared to the other facilities. Again, I just want to point out that our adjusted total is 3.89, which is the highest hours per resident day compared to all of the other facilities in the area, and is also higher than the state average of 3.69. Agency use, as Don was talking about on page 19, our total in May was actually 135,000. The actual net was 104. We had three invoices from prior periods earlier in 2015 that were received in the month in May, and those three late invoices totaled $30,229. June's preliminary total is $98,433. And again, in terms of our agency use, without question, it is higher than what we would like to see. And some of the strategic issues that we're addressing, in trying to reduce the turnover, but also we are looking to try to improve our weekend staffing, is one of the things that we are currently discussing, is to offer a weekend-only option for nursing, including CNAs and nurses. So that's something that we are we're going to be starting to discuss with the union about to get that put together. But again, it's where we would look for people who just want to work weekends. So either they get a higher rate of pay for just working weekends, or they work 3 12-hour shifts but get paid for 40 hours, something to that effect. I mean, that's typically what you see in hospitals or other nursing homes that have these weekend-only options. There's a financial incentive if you want to work just weekends, because they're typically harder to find people who just want to do that. And again, no surprise, what we see is typically agency usage is higher on the weekends, so it's something that we want to address. On page 20, I don't have anything to point out. On page 22, which is the surveys for all the other facilities, the only thing is the Line 9 Heritage had an update. They must have had a survey, and their overall rating went from a 3-star to a 4-star, and that's primarily due to the health inspections, which went from a rating of 3 stars to 4 stars. All their other measures remained unchanged, and none of the other facilities had any updates. Pinnacle scores on page that start on page 23 or 24. and these are the scores for the month of May. We had 12 scores. What I'm summarizing on page 23 is 12 of the scores showed an improvement between the months of April and May. 3 scores fell between April and May, and that was dining service, quality of food, and laundry. And so again, the laundry issue is primarily an issue with personal laundry and making sure that the residents get their personal laundry back, that they get their personal laundry that they have back to them and get it back in a timely fashion. So that actually, the primary area of emphasis on that is we've had turnover in the laundry department and we have those positions. We do have those positions filled, right? It was the last month. Yep. So hopefully we will see an improvement in the laundry scores in the June report. Any questions on the Pinnacle scores? If not, I will move on.
Which ones did you see the greatest improvement in? It looks like
admission.
Activities.
Let's see. Start from this. Overall satisfaction, 3.77 to 4. Nursing care went 4.03 to 4.2. Response to problems, 3.67 to 4.18. Activities. Therapy, which I think hopefully is a reflection of the new therapy company, that went from a 4.05 to 4.6. Admission process went from a 4 to a perfect score of 5. See on page 32, outpatient rehab.
Page 31.
Yes, sir.
Resident satisfaction rate. The top chart. Um, 50% with the national average being 82.7.
I think the issue there is when we've talked with Pinnacle is that the majority of the monthly surveys are done with family members. And I'm not sure if we're on a monthly basis, we're getting one from directly from a resident. And so that's what's reflecting. It's a one survey of a resident in the facility.
Well, that one resident that we reached out to gave us a 50% rate. Either they were not satisfied or...
Correct.
Or maybe they just were...
Why would there only be one resident?
Well, this survey is geared towards interviewing the responsible parties. So it's always typically a family member. So, again, I'm not sure what the process is that they weren't able to get a hold of a family member, so they interviewed the resident.
These are discharged, so they've reached them at home.
What can we expect next month and the month after that? I mean, how do we get more than one response on the survey? That has no value. Not that it... I mean, I value someone putting it in, but I don't know what it means.
Yeah, well, you know...
It is just the discharged residents rather than the discharged short stay, right? Is that true or not?
Well, we're going to need to follow up on that because it was my understanding that it was... I thought that it was a resident in the facility that was being interviewed. So, I mean, this is a new metric that they just started putting out this year. So it's something that we're going to have to follow up in terms of, is it something that we need to see more of, that, you know, we need to interview more? Is this another option that we have to interview discharged residents or family members versus current residents? So I need to follow up to give more information on what's going on here.
Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, the only
problem with this thing is you're interviewing families, but the resident's the guy that lives here.
Right. I think you need both.
Yeah, you need both, but I'm saying you can't do it just one.
Because I think there's what I tell my loved ones who I believe love me and are wanting the best care for me. You know, I may not tell them everything. The discomforts I am having are dissatisfactions. It's just a different perspective from the resident.
Well, I believe the theory that goes behind interviewing the responsible parties is because we do have a number, this is a random survey, and so some of the residents will not be able to respond because it's actually a telephone survey that's done. And so we wouldn't be able to get
is not the first time we've discussed this at this meeting.
Right.
You know, this has come up once or twice before, and now I'm looking at the latest one, and it's...
And I don't even know, now that you bring up the question, whether it's even an option to be interviewing the residents directly or not, but it was always been my understanding that the reasons why the family members are interviewed is because we have a number of residents that wouldn't be able to respond to these questions.
So we have a lot of them that are.
Well, many are.
Yeah.
But I think it requires a follow-up with Pinnacle and see if it's an option to get.
Well, why don't you do that for the next meeting?
Yeah. Find out what it really represents and what we could do to improve our response.
Yes, I think it's very complex.
It might be more accurate if we were able to get responses directly from residents as opposed to family members, or is there an option that you can get a mix between the two, whatever the case may be?
Well, that's what you need, but the thing of it is, I mean, nursing knows who's responsible enough to give you an honest answer, you know?
Well, but this is supposed to be, it's not us
doing it, right?
Identifying who to interview. It's Pinnacle randomly selecting individuals, so.
Well, you got to identify a group. You got to get it into a group, and then you pick out which one you want to interview out of the group.
Well, it should be random.
Right, be random out of the group.
Okay. And
you got the responsible ones and the non-responding ones.
You're right. You have to accept a certain amount of non-responses. We know that. But you increase your sample size to compensate for that. And what's the difference between a patient who, or a resident who leaves as opposed to one? I guess they all leave at some point. Maybe they go to a hospital. Maybe they go back home. That's why they were here.
Well, and some...
Some died.
Yeah.
These are residents, they're not the short stay patients. So I think you need to come back and tell us what this really is, because it seems to me we're not clear on what is that particular one is measuring.
Well, that particular measure, I don't know, but I can tell you the majority of the interviews are responsible parties.
Right. But thanks, as Jack says.
You're bringing up some good questions.
We talked about this one before, and we are not clear on how come we have such a low response rate and such a low score. So
it takes work to do surveys, but if I cared, which I do, but if I wanted to get the answer of how my residents feel about the service I'm providing, I might survey them every 2 weeks, randomly. Now, they may not have had a good day, they fill out that survey, and it may reflect that, but on the whole, I'll get what I consider to be an accurate picture of what my residents feel about their stay at the nursing home. And then I can use that as a benchmark to move forward with. I don't want to get into all the survey methodology, but I would be interested in, why have this if that's the sample size? It's not good information.
Agreed.
Okay. And that might be Pinnacle just cutting costs. I don't know.
Okay, you talk about Pinnacle back.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's see. On page 32, outpatient rehab. So we are in the process of getting the major renovation. We're going to call it a major renovation, is to replace the toilets, and that's ongoing. The licensure documents were submitted to IDPH. We are also securing the outpatient therapy equipment pricing, and once we have that, we'll be purchasing the equipment and getting it put into place, and then we'll be ready for the IDPH. We have to get an IDPH survey before we can start providing services. So again, timeline very roughly, I'm going to say maybe if we're lucky by September 1st, we might be up and running.
And I know that you've got here no progress on the pulmonary clinic, but if you're going to talk about the new respiratory therapy provider, what would be your projected timeline?
Well, I've had initial discussions with them, and the conversation was, let's readdress as we, because we're just starting this new pulmonary program, but the initial thought is, from their standpoint, that there may not be a need to bring in a pulmonologist. Yet, they also are pretty familiar with the area, and said, I mean, it's going to be difficult anyway, but it may not be necessary. They have a pulmonologist for us to have a really good pulmonary rehab program.
Okay, so when would you expect to have sort of an update on that?
I need to follow up with them, because that was a conversation I had with them last month. So
September, maybe?
Works. On page 33, our 30-day readmission rate for the month of June, we had one readmission out of 12, and again, that's the readmissions within 30 days of discharge from the hospital, so that's 8% score. CMS five-star rating, no change. On page 34, no update in our CMS quality measures. Page 35 and 36 with dietary. Our dietitian's dining room satisfaction survey scores in the month of June were 90.6%. Our pinnacle scores on page 36, again, the national average for food quality is 3.67. We were at 3.3, which was down slightly from April's score of 3.35. And our dining score fell from 3.46 in April to 3.25, and again, which is well below the national average of 4.19. Page 38, issue 5, resident services programming. In regards to our therapy program, HealthPro has secured a program manager, and that individual will be starting on July 27th. So I'm not sure if it'll be at the August meeting because it'll be so close to the start date, but I will have the manager at a future board of directors meeting so you can be introduced to that individual. So I guess we'll probably do it in September. Have the new manager, have introduced the new manager in September.
Okay. Anything else on the action plan? Any questions? Okay. Under the management report.
I'm going to jump straight over to page 43 and just talk about our cash situation and moving to the management update. So our cash, May's month ending balance was $355,000. Again, no real significant change from the previous months. We had 515 conversion days in May. We had 1,000 in June, or we'll show 1,000 conversion days in June, which is a reflection that we're seeing some of our Medicaid applications being approved, but it's not a significant number. I mean, 1,000 days is right, from my perspective, not enough, but we are starting to see, at least with our newer admissions, a quicker turnaround with our approval of applications by DHS. The cash issue, we are seeing, and I'm now referring to the bottom paragraph on page 43, the immediate issue that we've been addressing over the last couple of months is getting paid from our two managed care organizations, Health Alliance and our Health Alliance Connect contract and Molina Healthcare. And this is a dual-eligible managed care program. So, you know, a couple of months ago through the month of March, our receivables were close to $800,000-$900,000. We have seen progress. Just within the last few days, we have seen Molina send us three checks totaling $300,000. Those were received last week. And that roughly covers a significant percentage of the claims through March, between June of 2014 through March of 2015. So prior to the receipt of these checks, we had basically not been paid for any of our services provided to Molina covered residents. Health Alliance, we had received a check probably well about a month ago, roughly a little bit over $200,000, but we have not seen a second check from them to date. And we've had numerous conversations with Health Alliance, and we do have a meeting with Carl next month, and this is one of the issues that we're going to be talking over with them to see if there's anything they can do to help. But we're still trying to do as much as possible to get as much attention to these issues to get us paid, especially in light of what's coming down with the budget. So to frame this as best as I can, our total Medicaid payments, including managed care and traditional Medicaid, averages about $350,000 to $400,000 a month. The MCOs now account for $250,000 a month in payments on an ongoing basis. So we're still getting caught up with our MCO payments from Molina and Health Alliance. We're billing for April, we're billed for May, we'll be billing for June soon. We're still not receiving those payments yet. We got to get those payments coming to us on a regular basis, because again, that's $250,000 a month. Just today, we had a Carol Ammons, State Representative Carol Ammons, was at the facility to take a tour, and it gave us the opportunity to make sure she understands the current issues that we're dealing with regards to what's going on with the budget, the state budget, but also with the MCOs and with the Medicaid applications. So she spent about an hour here at the facility, and I made a point of emphasis that we need help with the Medicaid applications. But what's interesting is, and what we had heard, is that Leading Age Illinois is our not-for-profit nursing home association. So they have lobbyists that help us deal with issues. And I've been leaning very heavily on them to try to address issues with the Medicaid applications, with managed care, all the payment issues that we have going on with the state. There's been a directive by the administration that none of the State Department directors can have any conversation with any lobbyists. So if I call Leading Age, what they tell me is, Scott, here's the number. You need to call them directly. Talking with Carol Ammons today, she's telling that she has the same issues, that the department directors are not allowed to talk with any of our elected officials at this point in time. So we have to start literally lobbying on our behalf on all these issues. So it's a very tough situation for us, but again, we're trying to do as much as possible to talk with DHS, to talk with HFS about all these issues that we're dealing with. So I'm gonna lead into our working capital issue. So I've talked about the fact that we are working on and are seeing some progress with getting paid by the MCOs. So out of the $350,000 to $400,000, we receive about $150,000 to $200,000 a month in straight traditional Medicaid payments from the state. With the budget impasse, since we are now into 2016, without a budget, there can be no payment of any Medicaid claims. Now, you've seen all the articles and some of the stuff that I sent out that if a temporary budget is passed, or that the temporary budget that was passed by the Democrats includes paying Medicaid bills, but that hasn't been voted on by, the Senate yet. And the governor has stated that he's going to veto that bill, and then we have to see if we can have a veto override. But if there is no budget for the foreseeable future, Medicaid payments will stop. And I've got that confirmed directly from conversations with HFS. And I think in some of the articles that I've sent is also stated to that effect. What I had in the management update is in discussions with Molina and Health Alliance, they have both stated that they will, for now, continue to pay their providers, even if they're not being paid by the state. But that is subject to change. And so roughly the translation is, come September, October, if we still don't have a budget and or if the state is not paying their claims, the MCOs will stop paying because they're going to run out of cash to pay the providers. And again, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that they have to pay out. So in the short term, I would say through the summer, if we are going to be paid, if we can get our monthly payments by the MCOs, that's going to help us significantly in having to put off needing revenue anticipation notes. Because again, the only ability that we have to get access to working capital is we're going to have to issue revenue anticipation notes, which is basically borrowing against our Medicaid receivables. So right now, MPA, with Gary Winchell, who's my director of finance, has been in conversations with the county's bond council. We had drafted through our bond council at the time a couple of draft documents, and those are currently being reviewed by our new bond council. And what I can tell you in big picture general terms is this is, it's doable in terms of getting the documents together, but it's going to be where the rubber meets the road, which whether any lending institution is going to be interested in buying these notes. Last time when we were going to shop this around, or when we were shopping it around in 2011, we did it to over 30 lending institutions. We had one interested party. So the timeline that I envision right now is that we have to get county board approval. This will have to go to the county board to approve the revenue anticipation notes. We're probably looking right now to do that in August. We may be able to put it up, but I want to make sure that we've got everything in place as soon as possible, and we can have it in there. But again, that's subject to change between discussions that I'm going to have with Deb on an ongoing basis of the timing of this. But the end result is I need to make sure that this facility has access to cash in the event that the state stops paying us. And again, I have the same crystal ball that everyone else has, which is very, very cloudy, and you can just flip a coin and see what's going to happen. But you know, I just keep hearing very pessimistic opinions about what's going to happen in Springfield at this point in time.
So you're saying that right now you're not going to do anything, might come back to us in August and say you're doing this with revenue anticipation. Yeah.
So we're working very hard to get this stuff in place, but I think it will. We're looking at coming back here and then to the county board in the month of August. So that doesn't mean that we're going to issue those right away, but we want to talk about and see if...
you want board approval.
Right.
In case you get in a position where you think you're going to be short cash. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you, these notes obviously have an interest attached to them, the borrowing money. The county's borrowing money. And does this affect the county's bond rating? I guess not this amount, but if it were to continue, have an impact. This may not be the only request we see for such a thing.
Right. The tax anticipation warrants have not had a negative impact on the county's bond rating, and this at this point would be smaller than that is.
Is it possible?
But it's an additional debt. So, yeah.
Is it possible the county could be seeing other entities coming in asking for such notes to support them? I'm not sure what they would be. But
I don't think so.
Any other questions? That, I mean, to me, that is the biggest issue that we're dealing with right now. So again, you know, you're talking, and it's going to be predicated really on what the MCOs do. But let's assume, you know, we're talking about $300,000 to $350,000 a month. So again, some of the logistics that we're talking over at bond council is we're going to do it in quarterly borrowings, maybe 2 months, maybe 3 months. But we're talking on the average of about $300,000 to $350,000 a month. So if you do it in 3 month increments, we're talking about $900,000 or so.
Okay. Medicare unit? Oh, did we cover Medicare unit?
No. You skipped over it. All right, so the Medicare unit. So again, you had that flash update that I sent out earlier in the month about our decision to turn Unit 4 into the Medicare unit. And it's something that we have been talking about, having a dedicated Medicare unit in the building, and we've been talking about it for a while, meaning over the last couple of years of how to do that. And again, Right now, every bed in the building is duly certified for Medicare and Medicaid, and so our Medicare that we take care of are scattered throughout the building. And the thinking is we want to have the short-term Medicare individuals that are probably going home in a separate unit. So we can have dedicated staff and medical staff to take care of those residents. We thought we can improve the quality of care for the Medicare, and something that if we work well with the hospitals, we work well with the MCOs, that we can see an increase in our Medicare census. The unit would be all private rooms except for two semi-privates that have a half wall, called those T rooms, because then we would be the only facility in the county that could offer private Medicare rooms in the county. And we do have pretty frequent requests to have private rooms for our Medicare admissions. So obviously what was seriously taken into consideration is where we're going to put this unit. Unit 2 has always been considered our Medicare unit, but when we moved into this building way back when, a number of long-term residents from the old building was also moved into Unit 2. And many of those residents are still there. And so the ability to turn Unit 2 into the Medicare unit was not something that was feasible, because again, Unit 4 and 5 were designated dementia units. 5 is our locked unit, 4 is our unlocked unit. Now the theory behind Unit 4 was we would put dementia residents who were not an elopement risk, meaning that they weren't going to be able to wander through the building and get out. So those residents go into Unit 5 because it's locked. They can't get out of that unit. Over the years, what we've seen is that unit has turned into a late-stage dementia unit, meaning those residents are in the later stages of dementia, and you really don't benefit from traditional or typical dementia care or interventions, activities. So, and as we talked it through, it was felt that we could move those residents into the general population. And this is something that we've done at other facilities. We did it in Monroe County. Residents that progressed in the disease process were moved off of the dementia unit and were put into the general population, and it worked well. So it's the same theory that we're doing here, that we're moving those residents into the general population and turning Unit 4 into the Medicare unit. So what we've been doing since last week, we have 23 residents that we're moving off of Unit 4. So the program started with communication by social services. Our social services director, Larissa, was contacting every resident and family member on Unit 4 and explaining to them the process that we're going through. And so right now we're in that process of moving the residents off the unit. And it was done with a lot of thoughts, because there's, without question, a lot of understanding for myself and Karen and everyone else that we are moving residents from what they're used to, their home on Unit 4. So we wanted to make sure that we tried to make this transition as easy as possible, knowing that it's not an easy transition for any of these residents or their families. But we tried to plan this out as best as we can. So the process was, we were going to communicate with the residents and families first, then to the board, and then to the employees. And I can tell you that there's been a lot of negative feedback from the staff saying, why weren't we informed of this ahead of time? But it was done because we felt that it was necessary to inform the residents and families first and foremost, because they were going to be the most impacted directly. So basically, I knew it was not going to be a win-win situation for management to do it that way, but I felt that it was the best interest of the residents and family to talk to them first before we talk with staff about the move. So far the transition is going well. We are renovating the rooms on Unit 4. We're stripping the floors, we're putting new paint, and we're hoping by sometime in August that we're going to get all the rooms ready to go. Josh has already started talking with the discharge planners at the hospitals. We have mentioned it to the managed care organizations about our plans. But again, you know, we're trying to develop a niche in the marketplace that no one else is filling right now. Because again, in terms of the financial picture, we're facing Medicaid cuts. You know, getting more Medicare is not going to help with cash flow to a large extent. But the fact of the matter is we're dealing with a situation with the state where, you know, right now, at the minimum we're going to face in 2016, a 2.25% Medicaid cut. All likelihood, it could be a lot more. And we're talking, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars more in lost revenue. So we have to take a look at opportunities to generate more revenue because, again, you know, we can't cut.
This is really your way of trying to generate additional Medicare revenue. That's
right.
Really your reason for
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah. And so it allows us, because I can't look at our income statement and say, we're going to cut expenses. I want to make an investment in more staff. And I think you've seen over, you know, as we talked about the strategic measures, you know, we've made investments in more supervision to try to help with these quality of care issues. We need to make more investment in getting more CNAs hired and get rid of agency. And so it's going to be more difficult for us to do that when the state is cutting our Medicaid reimbursement. So we have to come up with ways to generate more revenue. And this is I think, a very key strategy to get us more revenue into this building so we can take care of these issues that are being discussed. Because we can't do it by cutting expenses. You know, we not want to do that. Any questions?
Yeah, I got one. I guess let's go back to Karen. Over the weekend, some of the staff were talking. They moved like 10 of them into Unit 1. But they didn't switch the employees, yet these 10 are not self-sufficient. They have to be fed, which takes the CNAs away from the care that we were talking about earlier at the beginning of the night. Unless they can staff them units to take care of those 10 people that are take total care, you're just going to create more problems. We're going to turn around and spend $36,000 revamping that unit over there, the rooms. And you can't even get the rooms in the normal unit even painted, you know. And you're betting on the cunt. That's what it comes down to. You're totally betting on the cunt when you do all this. It wasn't discussed with us prior to Brandy input. The board's been ignored and going on to do what you want to do, and that's what it comes down to.
I can ask, why wasn't the board informed before you went out to the families?
You were already out to the families when you sent the letter out.
Yes, I did. And again, it was a conscious decision because if I discuss this at the board meeting, then it would get back to the families before we had a chance to talk with them. I mean, I understand it was done with that thought in mind that I was not talking to the board of directors about this. But
well, does the family understand what position they've got themselves put into now as far as care? Because right now they can't take care of the people that's in the units now without adding 10 more down there. I know that particular unit pretty well.
So, put aside for a second, I feel like this is a management decision that wouldn't necessarily have had to come to the board, but I think the issue that's being raised is, what are your plans for addressing the additional care that's going to be needed for these patients who are in the general population? Can you answer that?
Well, and the plan is to make sure that we change the staffing to address the additional.
But you moved them and you haven't changed the staffing. You should have changed the staffing before you moved them. You know, that's like the horse out of the barn before you shut the door.
Are you going to be changing the staffing?
It's based on acuity, so numbers and the acuity of the residents. So it's changed on a daily basis.
The acuity of those residents is 100%. I mean, it's 100% care. And I don't disagree with you putting them in the general population, because I used to do the same thing once they were non-mobile. If they're still mobile, it's a problem. Any of them in wheelchairs? Is any of them in wheelchairs, Karen?
Yeah.
Well, they're mobile. I got into a lawsuit because one of them was still mobile. He went in and beat up another guy on New Year's Eve in his room, didn't he? And so that's another issue. If they're totally bed care, that's one thing. But if they're still mobile, that's another thing.
Well, but the reason why they're were on uniform to begin with is that they did not have those issues, because otherwise they wouldn't
have
placed
in a locked unit, though, right?
No, uniform's not a locked unit.
Yeah.
But you had them all in one place. You didn't have the general population.
Right, so I think the issue is making sure you've addressed mm-hmm. the additional acuity of those patients, and I think that is...
So the staff's really concerned about that. Especially the nursing staff.
Other comments and questions about the Medicare unit? I will say I think it's a good idea to... it is betting on the come, but I think there's a lot of come on the Medicare unit. I think that's a good place to be putting our investments in, honestly. I think we know that that's a good source of revenue, and it's a market that can be pretty selective. So,
if you stop taking patients in, residents in, during this transition? Because I know a guy that was supposed to come in here, was wanting to come back in here. He was in here on Medicare, and they wound up putting him in Paxton because they said they couldn't get him in here. So I don't know what's going on. I'll find out more about it and get back to you.
Yeah, there. That'd be a good thing to find out more about and ask him about. Jack, did you have something? Did I see over the camera? Mary, anything else on the Medicare unit?
No.
Okay.
Do we still need them?
I don't think we need anything for that, do we?
No.
Okay, so for the next meeting, you're going to come back about the...
I'm sorry. The Pinnacle one? Go ahead.
I'm just sort of summarizing. So for the next... I'm thinking we're down to other business, and my other business was just summarizing some of the things that we're... You got something else?
Yes, I'm sorry. When you asked me, I thought you were talking about the management report questions.
Oh, okay.
Cool. But I didn't have questions about that. It had some other business, though. But,
okay, go ahead with other business.
Okay. I guess I wanted to bounce this off the other board members. I think all of us have a concern for the quality of care that's provided to the residents here in the nursing home. And we want to provide them with the best level of service that we can. And we strive through working with management to accomplish that. But there's a cost to all of this, and that's what we seem to be battling, is being able to afford to be competitive in the marketplace, to attract good employees, to be able to provide that quality of care level of service that we would want, as Ms. Lynn indicated earlier. I listened very clearly to what she had to say, and having had a father who was in a nursing home, I understand, and other family members as well, but the importance of that care. And one of the things I'm kind of throwing around, it's not something new apparently, because if I talk to other folks, it's come up before, and it's not so much a decision of this board of directors as it would be for the county board. But I wanted to hear some thoughts about two possibilities. They're both related to putting a referendum on
county ballot at a future election that asks this question, well, two questions. First, would the taxpayers, the people who wanted this nursing home in the first place, be willing to support a tax increase? I don't think it's something the board would address, but I think it's something the citizens who pay that tax could address through the ballot or referendum itself. And the other question would be the nursing home itself, because it's tied to the first question, and that is, should the county board lease or sell the nursing home? Should the county be running the nursing home, assuming if the taxpayers on the first question don't want to pay additional money? Because I think this all goes back to looking for those funds to keep us going as a nursing home, being able to provide that quality level of service that we think these residents deserve. I've heard stories, and I heard one again tonight, about they're not receiving the quality care that I would like them to, and I'm sure the rest of you share that with me, that we want to have the best care that we can provide. But it takes money also, and I don't know if we can be competitive in the marketplace and hire any CNAs. I know there's an issue with CNAs across the board, but I think we pay more for our CNAs than others do because of the arrangement with having them as county employees. So there's other benefit considerations that they're receiving that cost more at the end of the day. You know, with the tax problems going on statewide, or the budget issues going on statewide, I suspect the county will be facing some more issues with losses in revenue coming from the state. And I don't know how much the county can subsidize the nursing home. And maybe it's time that we ask the residents if this is really what they want. If they want it, maybe that they'd be willing to increase their tax at a rate that we thought would just be enough to allow us to get to that quality service that we know we can provide if we're funded. If they don't want to do that, they don't want to have the county in the nursing home business, and they can voice that as well. I don't think I'm talking about something that's not spoken about before at some level, at some point in the past. I'm told it has been. But here we are moving forward with tax anticipation notes in order to make our payroll and our expenses for various reasons, obviously going on with the current budget situation. And I'm thinking maybe we could discuss this further in August. But I would be open to hear any thoughts you have about what I'm thinking and talking about.
Okay, and Deb, we could ask you to sort of provide some framework for that question too.
Well, what the potential ballot referendum questions can be.
Right. And it'd be good to have somebody do a little bit of history on that as well.
Well, it's actually included in the orientation that nursing home board members received, but we could, certainly.
Right.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't want it to get out to the public that I just mentioned closing the nursing home. Kicking grandma out of the nursing home. That's not at all what I'm saying.
No.
What I want is grandma to have the quality of care, as we heard she was not receiving tonight from Ms. Lynn, that grandma can be in a nursing home where she receives quality care. Whether the residents of our community are willing to increase a tax rate to accomplish that, or if they feel maybe private business should buy this or lease this facility and accomplish it as the others are doing it in our community. It seemed to be at varying degrees of success accomplishing that. But ask the taxpayers or the residents of our community what they want to do, the voters themselves. So I just want to make that point. I didn't want people walking out of here thinking, that's not what I'm thinking. I want to make sure that people have dignity. their stay here. That they have, that their family knows they're safe and they're well taken care of. I think they deserve that at any nursing home. And that's what I want to try to ensure by bringing this issue up. So we were saying that Deb would...
I think, as you were suggesting, we could put it on the August board meeting. We'd ask Deb to talk about what can and can't go on a referendum. I think it would be good to have a reminder of, even though it's part of the board orientation, I think it would be good to have a reminder of where things, a little bit of the history of that. And then if your question, I hear your question really being, how do we make sure we've provided the best care, and would additional taxes help with that, or would somebody other than the county running it help with that as well?
Yeah, and I don't think it's that the county can't get to that point where we provide a good service if we had adequate funding to accomplish that. By no means, I don't mean to say that. But if the tax, or if the voters don't want to increase a tax to allow us to provide quality service to the residents here, then maybe we have to look at the alternative of getting out of the business. And letting, you know, the private sector come in, potentially, as one way, and either lease or purchase it and run it themselves. You know, the residents would stay here. I mean, there's lots of ways that would be managed, but I think it's worthy of discussion because I can see over the horizon when you look at the demographics of our community. The bell curve of the boomers, we haven't reached the top of the bell curve yet. That's coming into these nursing homes. There's going to be greater numbers wanting to come in. And it's going to take money, you know, to get them here. And when we're seeing cuts at the state level, then that's asking the county to make up the difference. If you're asking the county to make up the difference, then we have to cut from somewhere else if we want to try to maintain a level. I don't think today we're at a financial level where I'd like us to be with this to provide the best care and staff that we could, potentially. But I also I think that when we look ahead, we can see this growing, and that's more resources taking away from other county projects. What do we take away? You know, do we take the deputy off the street to bring more funds into the nursing home? You know, those are decisions that the county board will have to deal with. But that's where I think this is heading. I can see that on the horizon where we're having to take away from other programs to maintain this one because of its cost. Anyway, enough said, I guess.
Are we going to put that on the agenda for an August meeting? Any other comments or...
I won't be at the August meeting. Okay.
Are you okay with us putting that on the agenda for the August meeting? Do you have any objection to that?
Well, I have thoughts, but
okay,
that's an agenda item, you know. So.
Okay. Any thoughts you want to share now or at another time?
Sure.
Okay, another time. Okay. Okay. You don't have any objection to doing that, talking about that for an hour. Okay. Okay. Okay, so for the next meeting, I'm going to get an update on what's going on with the resident satisfaction survey, that definition, and how do we improve our response rate and score. We'll know that not at next meeting, but at the September meeting, we'll get an update on rehab and pulmonary. And we'll put this on the agenda for the August meeting referendum, and this is the business the county should be in. And the next family council meeting is next Tuesday. Which is when is that? That is
21st.
go to that?
I think I can go. And then the one in August is the, would that be the 18th?
Should be, yeah. Could you send us your thoughts after the meeting if you get to go to Mary, since you won't be at the meeting?
Okay.
Other business? Motion for our next meeting date and time, August 10th, 2015. A motion for adjournment? Okay. And Jeff, did you second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Okay. Good evening,
Jeff. Jack, can you talk to her?
Yes.